ran over in a previous meeting. So we'll call to order the November 15th meeting for the Los Osos Groundwater Basin.
Great. And maybe I'll do a roll call here for Director Garfinkel,
yes.
Director Gibson,
yes,
and Chairperson Zimmer.
Yes.
And the minute should note that Chairperson Ohilski is not able to make it today. I just talked to him. He's having car trouble and will not be here.
Okay. All right. So we'll move to the Pledge of Allegiance. It's kind of tucked way back in the corner back there.
Yeah, you gotta look for it.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, we'll start with board member comments. Would any board member like to make a comment on non-agenda topics? Nothing from me. We'll go to the consent agenda.
Is Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Discussion on the consent agenda?
Just briefly, if I might, so you have the minutes from our previous meeting and also the warrants and the budget update through October of 2017. Did want to remind folks that we normally would consider next year's budget in January at our January meeting. And, Mr. Chair, it looks like we do have a representative from the CSD here. If Chuck feels up to taking his seat, it'll be great. Sorry about that, but you're right on the spot. And now we have a full complement. The minutes will note that we have Director Sasania here joining us.
Okay, thank you. So we'll move to approve the a motion to approve the consent agenda.
So I'll second that.
Okay.
Public comment also. You might want to take public comment.
Do we have a public comment on the consent agenda? No public comment? Okay, we'll pass as stands.
I can just do a quick roll call here. So we have the person who made the motion, I think that was you, Bill, wasn't it?
Yes.
It was kind of quiet. And then we had a second from Bruce.
Yeah.
And so we'll go Director Sasania.
Yes.
Director Gibson.
Yes.
Director Garfinkel.
I abstained from the minutes, but I guess yes.
Okay. And Director Zimmer.
Yes.
Motion carries with an abstention on the minutes from Bill.
Okay, the next item is the Executive Director Report. Rob?
Great, thank you. So just to describe a little bit of what's in my written report, at this point we're waiting for the next grant cycle under Prop 1 because they did determine that projects that have the construction of new wells as their primary means of improving water quality aren't a direct fit for Prop 1. And we do have a project in the IRWM pot for the Los Osos Creek Replenishment and Recharge Project. So that's in the package there under the county's IRWM process. Just to remind folks, in case it comes up, there is no current approach to getting a special tax out to the community. We are funding our capital projects at this point through rates and charges. That can certainly change if conditions change, but in the previous meetings, staff had felt that now would not be a good time to go out for another special tax. You have a brief update that the county assisted with on the SGMA compliance and what's happening in the fringe areas, and similar to the last meeting, be seeking to take another bite at the apple to modify the basin boundary and carve out those fringe areas so that we can have the management of the basin in one location here at the BMC. And then we have an update of the Los Osos Wastewater Project. We're nearing that 95th percentile mark for laterals that have been connected. And of the unconnected properties, we have a number of them, about a fourth of them, waiting for USDA assistance, actually closer to a third. And there is an enforcement process that the county will be considering to have the properties that are not connected make sure they accomplish their connections. And you can see the statistics there. We're going to talk a little bit later about the volumes of water that are coming into the plant, but currently we're peaking at about 0.48 MGD, so still haven't hit that 500,000 gallon a day mark at the treatment plant. And effluent volumes averaged over a month, we hit about 43 acre feet in October. So we'll be using some of that data to project forward in one of our agenda items today. So the recycled water negotiations with the schools are ongoing. Those are not complete yet. Staff certainly hopes that those can come to completion prior to next irrigation season beginning in April. And then we are moving forward on the monitoring well project that you approved at your last meeting. We're just looking at locations right now. So I'll have an update for you as that progresses and we find the perfect spot for that Cuesta by the Sea monitoring well. To remind you from your last meeting, we're just going to bring back pricing at this point, a bid package and pricing. So you have not yet authorized the drilling of that well. You've authorized the design of it. I see Director Garfinkel might have a question.
Yeah, that'll be strictly a monitoring well. It will not be a production well?
Correct. Strictly monitoring. At least zones D and E, those two zones, if we have enough funding, we might try to get C as well. But definitely zones D and E in that monitoring well. You heard a little bit of discussion and staff direction at your last meeting about the Morro Bay wastewater project and had a chance to think about that a little bit and gather some more information. Nothing conclusionary here, but I wanted to keep you updated. And so the purpose of my initial discussion with some of the Morro Bay engineering team was to determine if the volumes that they needed to treat were similar to the, I don't want to call it a hole, but similar to the capacity available in our plant. If there was a perfect fit there, it would certainly be worth pursuing further, and it may be worth pursuing regardless of that. But we did determine that the Morro Bay's peak flow condition, both in the winter and the summer, is significantly more than the, you know, the bedroom community of Los Osos. That's pretty steady when it comes to our peak flow conditions in Morro Bay. With the influx of the tourists, they can have peaks that exceed 2 million gallons a day. So Morro Bay alone, not including Cayucos, would be more than what the plant is currently designed for in Los Osos. Now, that's not to say that the plant couldn't be expanded, though, you know, where land availability around the plant is somewhat limited. But as far as them only needing the capacity that we have available, they do need more than that. Yes?
Another question. Was that based on the current build-out numbers, the current population, or was that on the build-out?
It's current.
Current.
Yeah.
So build-out, it would be even worse situation.
Yeah, and I don't have all those numbers handy. When I heard about the existing numbers, wanted to report those back. If there's more investigation that you want to do, we can certainly do that. I mean, to me, it's good to keep that dialogue open. I mean, Morro Bay is in a historic process, and we residents of Los Osos feel for them and their process that we've had to go through. But I think it's good to continue to keep tabs on that project because there is an awful lot of water that's going out to the ocean right now that would be ultimately available for recycling. Are there any questions on that? Because I know that had quite a bit of discussion. When we take public comment, we might want to be prepared to expand that discussion just a little bit.
I just had a question. The existing plant, the outflow goes out to the ocean currently, right? And then, so the existing treatment facility, is it being condemned because of its condition, or is it under capacity and needs to be expanded for additional treatment?
I can wade into the scary Morro Bay waters, and I see a face I think I recognize from previous meetings. You might get a little more feedback in public comment if I get this wrong. But the city of Morro Bay currently operates under a water quality waiver where they're not having to do full secondary treatment at the plants. It's mainly primary and disinfection. And so they're one of the few waivers that are left in the state, and so they're under orders from the regional board to upgrade at least to secondary treatment.
I see.
There's also been issues of the location of the plant that I'm less familiar with, but it is in a potential, you know, tsunami zone and a flood zone. So I don't want to go too far into moral-based
basically
business.
Basically, they have to expand the physical plant, and yeah. they don't have the space to do it. And where they're proposing to do it is unacceptable to the Coastal Commission.
Right.
So they've been working to try to find a site well away from the coast.
Right.
Have settled on one now. But,
well, one thought would be that, you know, the excess needs could come to Los Osos and they continue to operate their existing plant if that's possible, you know, and I don't know if that's been considered, but we don't treat 100% of Morro Bay's effluent or raw water, but the portion that is in excess, because we're going to, I don't know, just a thought.
I think it's good to throw those out there. This place is, it's a technical working meeting, right?
Yeah.
It's, so we can speak more freely. It is about an 8-mile pipeline from the Morro Bay treatment plant location, the existing location, all the way to Los Osos. Took a quick look at that just out of curiosity.
There are other issues. They are facing some pretty serious deferred maintenance on their collection system. Their inflow and infiltration of stormwater is pretty significant. I don't know the exact details, but the peak flows in the wintertime are very much affected by that.
That's very correct.
They
hit over three.
Three, right.
Yeah.
And that's for a community of 10,000 that's, you know, not not necessarily 100% full. From where I sit, my office, we're happy to talk to Morro Bay on any kind of project that makes sense to use excess capacity. A whole bunch of details to be worked out, and those are, you know, both interagency and the technical details. But so I've made myself available to them, and we'll see where the conversation goes.
Sure.
I think way back I understood that when Los Osos was considering to bring water from the California that's coming into Morro Bay, bring water over to us, that either the Coastal Commission or the Regional Control Board said we couldn't put a pipe over the creek. Is that accurate information?
The issue of connections to the state water project through the Choro Pipeline have only been looked at in a very cursory manner. It's in the basin plan.
Right.
But not to the level of detail that would give a definitive answer to that question. Suffice it to say, it would be very difficult to get that through coastal, right through the estuary and over the twin, or the not the twin
right.
bridges, but the Choro Creek Bridge. But I don't think we can give finality to that.
Okay.
I did have a comment on some of the projects, but or the funding and financing aspect and the zone of benefit analysis. But I think we have an action item for the basin plan project infrastructure project. So we'll save it for that and just tie it all together. So any other comments from the board at this time? Public comment?
Thank you. My name is Barry Brannon. I'm a property owner in Los Osos Valley, immediately adjacent to the current Los Osos wastewater facility. I think it should be called a water treatment facility because I like the acronym better. But I live in Morro Bay, and I've been very active. I represent a group called CAL, which is Citizens for Affordable Living. And we have been examining this project all along. But to wrap it up for your group to answer your question, last night at the City Council, Morro Bay awarded a contract, a consulting contract, for a firm to build a lift station and a pipeline from the existing facility out to South Bay Boulevard. Their thought is that they will build a plant at some property behind Los Flores. So I'm hoping that during the study for that plant that they'll do a good, accurate analysis of the loads and flows. I know when the plant was built for Los Osos, the people that did that design told you what your flow was going to be. And be that as it may, there was some inaccuracies. We have the same people telling us what our loads and flows are going to be, and I think we have some large errors. For example, the last 4 years, we started an increase in our rates, and our water consumption September of 13 versus September of 17, we're down 20% in our water flow. Now, our rate increase only started 2 years ago, so we're having a dramatic drop in our water consumption as the rates go up, and that's what you experienced. On top of that, we have a great deal of infiltration. For example, when they built Highway 1, they went down and cut all the sewer lines off as the people that are on the ocean side of Highway 1, so all those lines were capped. Now the caps are failing, and all the runoff on Highway 1 flows in the green belt, infiltrates, and feeds the whole, overloads the whole upper Morro Bay line. So there is some money in the fund to properly, and I feel, to take care of some of the linings. The main line that's in Embarcadero is a gravity line. This has infiltration that's just monstrous, and they do have on the books to repair that. So as the tide comes up, you get more water. So it's pretty obvious that the collection system is in very poor condition. My point is that I believe that the Morro Bay is still at school finding out what the best do. And the obvious thing is to tighten up the system. There are fewer residents, I think, in Morro Bay, even if you add up all of the proper usage. If we had a tighter collection system, as the rates go up, that'll reduce the consumption. And I think that there's perhaps room in your facility for more treatment, and obviously you could use the recharge. I know there are a lot of hurdles, but I think that if we can find a way to open up the conversation, I'd be more than happy to. I've talked to the council about that individually. They're listening, but they've got a problem. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Steve Best. It seems the Morro Bay connection would be would complicate Los Sisas' sewer plant and overtax the plant. If we're constantly running on at full capacity all the time, our infrastructure would be overloaded. We wouldn't have the ability downscale if we had a power if our equipment were to go down. I know we run things on everything's on duplication on pumps and so forth, but it would really overtax our existing or the pump systems that we do have. Servicing and maintenance of the equipment would be basically everything would be the life cycle of everything would be shortened dramatically. The risks of a pipeline 8 miles to and fro would be significant. The encumbrance on the communities for the traffic and so forth on South Bay Boulevard would be really significant. It seems like the cost impacts of having to transport that water that distance would be a significant cost impact versus if they found a solution within the town of Morro Bay. Just seems to make sense to keep everything consolidated within the town of Morro Bay. And that it doesn't seem to make sense to have to transport that water. We have other things to consider, and I think there's a lot of things that we need to resolve within Los Osos before we start taking on the responsibility of other people's sewer problems.
Okay, thank you. Any other public comment? Okay, the next item on the agenda is the action items. We have four items to discuss. We'll start with the first one, the basin plan infrastructure projects.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a standing item that we intend to report on each time. So you can track the progress as it goes. I'll just report on the key changes since our last meeting. And there is one that I think is quite significant, and that is that Golden State Water Company has now brought online the Resina nitrate removal unit, which you've been hearing about for quite some time, but now they've had their first month of successful runtime, and it's that in combination with the well that's feeding it is doing really better than what I had projected, running about 160 gallons a minute right now in round numbers. So that is a direct offset to lower aquifer usage that we have not had in the past. So when you look at the amount of volume that could produce over a year's period, I mean, it could be a fourth or a third of the total volume in the Golden State system. So it is a very significant project under our Program A. It also is, in a sense, the beginnings of Program B, because originally that was just going to be a blending facility. Now it's a nitrate removal facility. And so that could be expanded and phased to grow in the future if we need to do that, even though Program B is not specifically funded under the recommended basin plan projects. The CSD is also making progress on their 8th Street well. They finished the first design step with their consulting engineer, M&S, and they're looking to consider a contract to take that all the way to construction documents at their next meeting in December. And we're still targeting getting that done and constructed in by next summer. So Program A is going. Nothing I can talk about specifically under Program C, the new wells. There are property negotiations that are ongoing and agreements that are being considered, but nothing that's in the public realm right now. And when that becomes public, I'll certainly report out on that. And as I mentioned previously, the Cuesta by the Sea monitoring well is moving forward and will be coming back with bids on that as soon as those are available. And on the funding matter, those of us who are in the CSD's water system are already feeling the rate increase that was recently adopted. And funding levels with the CSD have come up. And so we are projecting that those net revenues that we reported at your last meeting and report today will be actually realized unless something very draconian happens within our water system. So we do expect to have some net revenues to pursue Program C projects once the well site is secured. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions from board members? Comments?
If you might, you say move forward with the expansion wells when the well sites are secured, meaning identified and negotiated.
We have three sites that have been identified and two that are in active discussions. And so when those become real.
Yeah, without getting into the details of these sites, as you say, confidential, can you give us an indication of are we likely to be able to find sites for these wells?
There's at least one site that's very likely.
Good.
You know, willing seller. It's just subject to the terms of the agreement.
Right.
So the other I wouldn't put in that category, but still very interested in the site.
Good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Just one other thing. Your last sentence, as far as additional cooperation funding appropriate for other BMC members could also be considered for expanding well number 3 or other program elements. Did the CSD have something specific in mind on that?
No, not specific. I think the intent of that statement is to say that, as has been done in other local communities that I've been involved in, at times the public agency is able to raise some funding to pursue a project and be out in front on it, and there are structures that have been used locally to have other participants come in and help pay for a portion of that, perhaps not with cash up front, but with water transfers and so forth. I wouldn't want to specifically project that, just to say that there are local examples of that when we get there.
Thank you.
Thank you. So my comment is I'm going to take a little step back and look at these projects. You know, as you mentioned, the ratepayers of both Golden State and the district have undergone to fund these projects. We've completed some significant projects, and they're active today. We look at, you know, mentioned the nitrate removal, but also our Los Olivos 5 well over there is pumping and really has taken the place of Rosina's pumping. And we've seen, you know, I still draw on your don't jump to conclusions so early on at your first sign, but it's good to grasp those results that we're seeing when we sample Rosina for chlorides and things like that. And so, you know, we're looking for a recommendation of how do we move forward with these projects, and it would there be any benefit to running the model or doing some type of technical analysis of these projects that have been completed, any signs of these results in ensuring that the projects that we're going to move forward and pursue are the best options today? Because I think when we prepared this suite of projects, we didn't have as much information as we have today. And so maybe a little early to make that call, but I'm just starting to think that, you know, I don't want to start heading down a path and there may be other options in available for us. So what I'm proposing is that we take a look at potentially analyzing our completion of projects and what we have before us. And, you know, one of the key factors is I think we'll really be hinged on our Broderson results. And so we talked about the effluent water going to Broderson, and I'm not sure if I really understand how long that's going to take. I know initially we were talking it was going to be many, many years before we would see the significant results of Broderson, but when could we start seeing some indication that at least it's operating as we intended and we can see those results in years to come? I think, you know, looking at that option and the projects that are completed and how successful some of these have been in our pumping back when we strategized these projects, do you think there would be any benefit, you know, with the other board members to look at these and see if there's other options out there today? I don't know.
I can say from staff's perspective, it's cheap money to do that. The model is easy to run, and we can look at scenarios at any time.
I support Director Zipper's ideas and questions. Sorry I wasn't at the last meeting, but I know it was discussed. But have we yet seen any indication of the water that we're putting in Broderson getting down in those wells that we're monitoring?
Yes.
We have.
Just okay. Very recent. I was going to show you a slide.
Oh.
Not on this agenda item, but I can now
okay,
if you
thank
like.
You.
So my thought, Mark, is I think that's a good way to proceed as long as it does not delay further progress on getting these projects in. Right. And I'll just say that the manner in which we are developing the funding for these programs it's much clearer to me on the CSD side than it is on the Golden State side how you're proceeding to line up the capital investments here.
Right.
And some greater understanding of that would be helpful to me. I think if you take this as a whole, the package as a whole has been analyzed as to its effect on the basin. So we know what the cumulative effect on this is. I don't know that we are, I mean, let me ask it as a question. Do we expect, you know, is there the thought that there would be results much different from the analysis that led us to propose this package in the first place?
I think the question is not do you need a program C well. Mm-hmm. You have two more planned.
Right.
And we think you need at least one under any scenario. Right. And we have looked at the different well sites and just do quick model runs to confirm that. You need at least one more, and that would be presumably a CSD project to fund that. Golden State's already funded one.
Okay.
And so those two would be the absolute minimum. I think the question would be, how much benefit do you really get from a third, given our current reduced use?
Right. And to me, that seems, if we're talking about commitment to move forward with a second, with the CSD-funded one, the third is far enough out that this analysis doesn't delay its implementation. Under that kind of approach, that's fine. The other thought that I've had, and I've talked to Rob about it a number of times, is that it seems to me that denitrification of upper aquifer water is a very direct approach toward improving conditions in the lower aquifer. And so my question to him has been, how about the cost-benefit analysis? If we expand denitrification, what's it going to cost us to do that? And we understand there are a number of technical issues with that. But it's immediate. You know, you can see it, and it can be implemented quickly. So there's the bang for the buck, and there's then there's the amount of time that it takes to get these things in. Yeah. My interest, as you can imagine, is getting this program moving forward and starting to see results that I can, help staff take to the Coastal Commission to get Los Osos set up for its future growth pattern, for whatever that amounts to. And so I am I'm sensitive to any activity that takes us off our main mission of making that graph look even better than it does today.
Yeah, and I appreciate that, and I'm in line with that. I agree. That's not, we definitely don't want to derail our goal and intent, but I just think that, we've started completing a good portion of these projects, and if we could just, I would like to have reassurance that we're moving those next steps. Like Rob mentioned, that third well, maybe it is, our ion exchange treatment plant. There's an opportunity to drill an upper well there versus an expansion well on the east side. Looking at options like that. That are we going to get the best bang for our buck moving forward? That's kind of really what. My intent was.
And one of the things we've never had here is sort of a timeline of these projects. And so if we're getting to that and talking about the analyses that look at cost effectiveness and timing effectiveness, if that might be developed as part of that so that, again, we can look out 5, 10, 20 years in the future. So
and a lot of this was developed on modeling and conclusions from the modeling and experts, and now we have some data that might be helpful to bring into that and to confirm that, too.
Sure.
Good. I think staff's got some good direction there.
Okay. And like you said, if it's relatively inexpensive, might be a good choice of our funds.
Agreed. Did you want to see the Broderson results now or wait till that?
If you had it at a different time, that's
okay. I was just going to report along with fall monitoring.
Yeah, okay. No, that's great. Yeah. Thank you. So, just need a technical. Do we public comment on each action item?
On this item, even though it's a receive and file item, I would definitely take public comment on it.
We'll open it up to public comment. Rob.
Richard Margaretson. For the Los Osos well project, could you talk a little bit about funding from the CSD, the anticipated this next fiscal year from the rate increase, and the possible surplus from last year, and how that may affect the timeline and what that timeline looks like?
Usually we'd take all the public comment now and then all.
Okay, any other public comment? No public comment. Bring it back to the board.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So in response to Richard, yes, we're projecting that in the fiscal year that we're currently in, that we'd have net revenues of about $500,000 available for a project or projects, and that number would ratchet up to $700,000 next fiscal year, 18-19, and hit a peak of $900,000 in 19-20. in those 3 years, also with us, the net revenues we have from last fiscal year, we think those would be sufficient in that timing to, if we so chose, if the CSD so chose, to fully fund that one additional well, depending on exactly where it goes, the transmission pipe and all that. So we really ask the community to step up in our system and put the basin as a very high priority. I don't remember the exact net revenue numbers that we're projecting in our latest audit on the CSD, but perhaps we can hear about those under another item. But I don't know if you know, Chuck.
I'd hate to even guess. It seems to fluctuate.
Yeah, but it's not zero. It was definitely
No. I hear 300,000, 3-4, or somewhere in there.
Yeah, from last fiscal year. So we're come to a point where we're definitely able to fund some projects, which is good to report. Thank you.
Thank you. So do we have a, bringing it to the board, do we have a motion and action?
Staff's not proposing any action on this item, but we do have your general input, which we will incorporate into, we'll bring back to you a sense for what that modeling effort would cost.
Okay.
And what kind of product you would get out of it and how that fits into your budget framework. And then also the time element of these projects, though we do give a time status, how that looks out in the years to come.
Perfect.
We'll do that.
Thank you. We'll move to action item 7B, water conservation program update.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Also a standing item because your committee remains very interested in the outcome of the revised water conservation implementation plan that you endorsed previously. And just to remind the committee, and I've attached it to your staff note, there are a whole set of additional rebates that are a match from what this group had recommended. Everything except for the use of roof water, of storm water, for irrigation. If it was related in any way to the wastewater project, it made it into the county's recommended renewed rebate program. And so that program's gotten in front of the Coastal Commission. They've asked county staff to issue a formal amendment to their recycled water plan, which includes this conservation rebate program. And staff is in the process of doing that. If it may be done already. It was any day that was going to go into the commission. So I'm hoping that prior to the end of this year, we'll get a positive read from the commission, and so we'll have a set of potential rebates that can be available for folks who are connected to the wastewater project. We still do not have funding for the use of roof water and the repurposing of septic tanks for roof water. Gray water, yes, this would have some rebates available, but not roof water. So we continue to search for a source of funding on that, but we think this is an important first step that the county's been planning to take. I did want to note that in your last meeting, we batted around a little bit this idea of having an outreach group of some kind, and we didn't want to talk about it in detail because we didn't have county council represented, and some of the options are legally more complex. We do have county council here, and so you can certainly hearken back to what we talked about in July, which is to either have a Brown Act subcommittee or an ad hoc committee, and those options have been attached to your staff note. We talked about them previously, but at the last meeting, you indicated that you might have a preference to do an evening town hall style forum that we could invite people to come and give feedback as to how we can get this word out most effectively and see who would be interested in giving some concrete input on that. Staff would be happy to do it. Would love to have a community meeting in the evening if that's how you want to handle this. So at this point, again, no specific action, but we are looking for committee feedback if you did want to pursue, say, a standing committee under the Brown Act or some type of a formal ad hoc committee for public outreach. But at this point, those rebates are not available. So,
isn't that a separate agenda item?
No, it's all in one.
see.
I had just attached the staff note from the previous July meeting for your reference.
So, board comments on this?
I'll say that I, you know, to me, this is a water purveyor issue, and I, county would certainly be happy to help in any way we can. But I do think that in the long haul, the water purveyors need to lead on this, and would be happy to help.
And I would say I did receive comment on this item from my alternate director, Mr. Cote, and I think I'll ask a public comment that he come up and explain those things that he was looking at. He can do it much better than I can.
Wonderful.
Okay. Maybe I'll save my comment for after public comment, if that's okay. Okay. We'll open it up to public comment.
Charlie?
Thank you, Vice Chairman and committee members. My name is Jeff Edwards. And I'd like to remind this committee that really in Los Osos, there's very little, if any, conservation occurring right now. There's a couple reasons. First of all, it's not about awareness. It's about money. It takes money to retrofit. To implement a plumbing retrofit. The second thing is there's confusion out there. There's no less than five conservation programs floating around in this community. Each of the purveyors has their own version of a conservation program. The Basin Management Committee, you're contemplating a conservation program. The Wastewater Project has a waning conservation program, and Title 19 is active, yet not really utilized too much right now. So I think those are the problems. I would urge your committee not to spend a lot of time or staff's time on conservation. We need to set up a framework where there are funds that can be made available, and I would suggest typically through the private sector. The Title 19 program has been the most effective conservation program to date in Los Osos. It saved the most water. There's no question about that. So why not consolidate the conservation programs, update Title 19, and then drop the rest of this, you know, this outreach? If you want a bang for your buck, I would ask you to communicate with the county. Have them do what's been done for Paso Robles and for Napomo, and that is prepare a card that outlines the water conservation programs for the community. It's a card, people going into the planning department, they can get it. They're the ones that are doing things. They have the money to fund the conservation. So I'll give this to your executive director, and perhaps he can pursue this. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff.
Charlie Cote, Los Osos. I had a question that I discussed with Bill just before the meeting about in the first paragraph of this item 7B note, Rob says that the septic tank repurposing program and the low-impact development landscape measure aren't going to be recommended, and the reason is that there is no clear nexus between the wastewater project and the reduction of outdoor irrigation. And so I just have a question about what this idea of nexus or connection is. I guess the idea, the way I understand it, might be that conservation of roof water is not the same as conservation of produced water. But actually, with the connection, everyone's connection of their effluent streams, individual effluent streams, the amount of water available for each yard that was benefiting from each individual effluent stream has been eliminated, which in turn must increase if everything's to stay the same. If people are going to maintain their greenery in their yards, that would necessitate an increase in irrigation using produced water. So I just want to check and see if we still agree with that. And that was my comment relative to that.
Good afternoon, Steve Best. One of the main questions I've been wanting to understand is basically who really owns the reclaimed water coming from the plant, and how are we going to resolve the usage of that water, or if we're ever going to resolve the use of that water for residential usage? I know we can use that for commercial and multifamily applications, but there seems to be a stumbling block for single-family residential usage, and especially being able to give that use that water for refurbished tanks or potentially for new tanks. If people have refurbished tanks, that's one thing, but they could also put new tanks in there in the properties and be able to buy water that reclaimed water from the plant and be able to irrigate that water, irrigate their properties with that water. That means less water being drawn from the aquifers. So it depends on who owns that water and if that water is can be distributed and used to generate revenues for the town of Los Osos. There's a lot of things that we can do with that, those funds that are generated. Is this county water or is this Los Osos water? It's coming from the town of Los Osos, and we put that sewer in. So I really question about how we can use that water. It's not part of the our water district, but it's water that's being, as an after effect. Right now it's just being put into the ground. We should be able to use that water as a source of revenue, and not actually make a profit on that water, so that we can generate a source of revenue where we can actually increase our potential for parks and other services that we want to be able to use, be able to return back to our town. So I think that's something we should be really considering. Thank you.
Thank you. Any more public comment? No further public comment? Bring it back to the board.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If you'd like, I can respond to those. And then,
sure, that would be great.
So with respect to Director Alternative Cody, I understand his point, certainly, and I wouldn't be a hard person to convince because, of course, the purveyors like the idea of having as many of our recommended projects included in that county rebate as possible, but I do understand the county's perspective, which is if it affects the flow and loading that goes to the collection system into the wastewater plant, that's where the nexus really comes in, is how does it affect the cost to construct and operate that wastewater facility. And that's why they elected to include gray water, that because that limits the flows, limits the loading. But I do understand your thought process as to the removal of the leach fields being an impact that could be mitigated by roof water. Well, I think that's true. I think in the county's perspective, it doesn't meet that strict nexus from a funding standpoint. Though I know the county supports the general concept, of course, of roof water recapture. For Mr. Best, as to the ownership of the recycled water, I guess the best way to put that would be the ones who pay for the wastewater project, which are the connected properties, are the core owners of that water. But the county who operates the wastewater project has indicated they're not looking to compete with the purveyors for water customers. So to the extent that there's a retail use for that water, that would most likely flow through the purveyors for that revenue source. So I think you will see future revenues from recycled water in the urban area. The state continues to be our sticking point for residential use of of recycled water, a sticking point that we all hope will be removed at some point. There's so many things changing in that industry. We certainly hope to see in the next few years progress on that front so we can have a broader use of that recycled water. Thank you.
I'd like to respond to the comment that Los Osos isn't really doing conservation. That's completely false. I know personally, our company, S&T, we have somewhere over 500 people living that we supply water to. Last year, 2016, our water usage dropped to approximately 50 gallons per person a day inside and outside, which far exceeds the requirements of Condition 5. And if you don't just go through the community, more than 50% of the people have changed their outdoor landscaping. So I think, and I see that also in other areas of Los Osos. So we ought to give credit where people have done the job and we're seeing the use go way down.
On the other hand, the CSD has seen recent use creep back up, and I think it's because of the fact that if it's in front of us, we think about it and we do it. And the drought in some people's minds has kind of eased off. Our usage has been up to, I think, mid-70s gallons per person per day already. And there was just an article published in the LA Times that somebody went back and correlated water conservation with media stories. And there was a direct link. The drought, 2007-08, I think it was, not many media stories, not a lot of water conservation went on. The latest drought, there was a direct correlation between the number of media stories and water savings. So, I mean, we're all human. The more we get reminded of something, the more likely we are to pay attention to it, and that's why I think that a water conservation outreach program is still something that we need to think about.
My only thought is on further use of the recycled water. I know we have a couple of discussion topics coming. I think we always have to think about the most efficient way. I think the infrastructure costs of doing one thing or another are going to be significant, and trying to get recycled water out to individual gardens is going to be a challenge. I think we've got a much better chance of seeing what the state does with direct potable reuse, where we could concentrate the infrastructure investment and really make a one-for-one kind of impact on the extractions out of the basin. Now, that's years away, but I think something we should keep in front of us, and is probably a more, I believe it will come, and I think it's probably something that's more the most likely effective use of that recycled water in the end.
All right. Thank you. My comment is, you know, we were looking at establishing a committee, and, you know, we got clarity on what it would take to do that, and you know, I don't know if the other board members would agree, but I think our what I believe is that our approach right now would be best intended to have a community outreach effort. And I think that Mr. Edwards brought up a good point with putting those on a cart. You know, really, that's the confusion, is that people aren't sure where to really go. And, you know, the fact that we have different entities and different requirements in each entity, you know, we just need to – that's not going to go away. We're not going to be able to mesh that together. But we can reach out to the community as a whole and let them know what is the best avenue for them, answer their questions, and provide clarity on – what they can do to help their conservation effort. And with having a community meeting, I think that brings it to the table. It brings, you know, all of our agencies together. In addition, it brings our community together to really talk about that and keep that in front, because I agree. You know, if people are talking about it and actively involved in it, then that, you know, helps them take the actions needed. So, you know, I think that really if we could have staff look at a community outreach effort and consolidating and look at each agency's. I think we've already done that to some degree, is looked at each agency's conservation contribution and really have that ready at that community outreach after having a community outreach meeting, maybe we could bring it back to the board and decide, you know, is there, could we continue on with establishing a committee or not? You know, maybe give us more clarity on that after having a community meeting.
Thank you. I just one thought is that would we wait on that until the rebates are approved by Coastal so that when we have that meeting, we can flash up the different rebate programs and explain, here's what a water recirculator is, here's what this is. And so when we invite people, we can say, come and hear about the new rebates that are available and how they might benefit you. I think that might be a good time to do that community meeting.
When will that be?
I'm saying it's by the end of the year. Coastal Commission's going to say yes. You heard it here first.
Yeah, another likely scenario, I think they're back in the county in February, and they often like to do those kinds of local things at local meetings. So.
Okay.
I don't know that I'm going to feel funny about this because I'm certainly not going to volunteer for this committee, but having that committee in place going into whatever public outreach might make a certain amount of sense.
You know, the other thing, if staff could just have concrete feedback, maybe from one or two board members who are minded that way, whether it's updating this postcard, which is excellent, by the way, or the consolidation of programs, if you could help staff on their messaging a little bit, since you hear from your customers, I think that would be helpful, since we are not one of the public relations firms, but I think we can do just fine.
Yeah, no, we can definitely help with that.
Great. I like the idea of the card. I know from the CSD's perspective, we are, we've talked to the Chamber of Commerce about reaching out to the schools again. You know, that's a natural way to, you get the kids involved and they get their parents involved. It's a lot easier than trying to talk to the parents directly. We're talking about banners at the elementary school level, competitions, lots of winners, school and businesses flying the winning banners out in front, that kind of thing. At the middle school, we're thinking about videos, conservation videos. Everybody's got a cell phone anywhere. Everybody can do a video. Some different ideas that we're working with the Chamber of Commerce with. And maybe we'll have those a little more baked by the time it's time for a little community meeting.
Great. I like that. I have three video experts in my house, yes, all teenagers.
I have four, so, but I'm not one of them. Okay, so bringing, do you have?
Staff has direction. Okay. If there's a general thought that we bring back something concrete as those rebates near approval, concrete list of ideas for a community meeting and a mailer, we can bring those back and proceed in that fashion.
And then support from board member staff to help the messaging.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know Golden State has a dedicated water conservation person who knows the fixtures really well. And so I might tap into that person.
Right. Well, we'll definitely put you in contact with them. Okay. Going to action item 7C, review and discussion of fall 2017 monitoring data.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, I just wanted to report on our fall monitoring, and it's going to take two forms. One is reporting on the seawater intrusion data that we've received this fall, and the other is to report on some of the Broaddrison monitoring data that we're looking at. So from a seawater intrusion perspective, if you look on the screen, the red line reflects what we call the chloride metric. And that's a general measurement of chloride levels that sit right on the seawater front. So we expect these to be very sensitive to movement of that front. Because you look at the scale on this on the right side in terms of chlorides and milligrams per liter, it only goes up to 240 milligrams per liter. But chlorides in seawater are 15,000. So you get a little bit of seawater on this metric, and it goes crazy. So that's why we always say be cautious about too many conclusions when you see even a year or two worth of data. If we've got a prolonged drought or something happens, that number can go back up quickly. But the results are encouraging to see a fall reading that followed up a very good spring reading. And we haven't seen some of these levels in Golden State's Rosina well in a number of years. as far as chlorides, and Mark, you know that really well, I'm sure. So it's overall encouraging. We haven't compiled all the water level data yet because the county's still going through its QA process on that. So the water level metric still needs to be updated. But across the board, the chlorides looked good, looked better. So it's still an emergency situation. We are still in a drought, and we still need to take robust and immediate action. But it does appear that we're seeing some positive results. Just to remind people in the community that the Rosina well, which again sits right on the west of the front, has a double weighting in this current metric, and that when we get the Cuesta by the Sea monitoring well in, we will probably redo this metric to include the results on that well because it's so strategically located. But for now, we can be, I think, happy that we're not seeing a worsening. We're seeing a lessening of those chloride levels. And then we do have some information. Let me see if I can get this to scroll through. There it is. Okay. Oh, it's a little tough to see, but I'll try to point to it with my mouse if you could see my cursor. This is the Broderson site right here where we're percolating all of the majority of our effluent. And this red dot here is what we call first water monitoring well number 6. And that is sort of the key well that we're going to be using to detect a mound downstream of Broderson. Apologize for if you're in the community and haven't heard a lot of the technical portion of this. Suffice it to say that we're percolating the water up on the hill there above Redfield Woods, up in the Highland area, and that water is intended to hit a clay layer that's several hundred feet down and begin to form a mound as it collects against that layer. And that increased pressure is intended to help both our shallow aquifer and our deep aquifer. So what we haven't seen yet is any evidence that a mound is being created. So this is our first evidence. We have an instrument in that well that takes data all the time called the transducer. And this is the result. So you have time scale from summer of 16 at the bottom when we first started taking measurements. And so what you're seeing on the right side is a couple feet of response. Some of that could be due to increased rainfall, but the wells around it did respond to rainfall but then stopped responding, whereas this one seems to be raising with a more steady incline. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not calling it too early, but it looks like an aquifer response to that water that's being percolated. So we'll have another downloading event here prior to your next meeting, and we can kind of begin to track this hydrograph and see if this trend continues. So no one's going to jump up and down about a few feet of response, but it certainly seems like a signature to me, but we'll see if it continues. And I just wanted to give you and the community regular updates. I think one of the best parts of this forum is that you can expect to see raw data as it comes out before we have a lot of conclusionary statements with it, so we can sort of synthesize that together. And that concludes my report.
Thank you. Bring it back to the board for comment. Yeah, no, it's good. Which month did we start releasing water at Broderson? Was that in...
I think that's June, buried in my report.
June
somewhere.
Of 2016?
I can look.
Something of that nature?
I think that's correct.
Yeah.
I'll see if I have that handy here.
Yeah, no, that's helpful.
Someone from the county may know that off.
Do we have a public comment on this item?
Richard Margetson, encouraging. But Rob, could you talk about the impact on both these graphs if we had a two-year drought again?
Steve Best.
This is a filtered water reclaimed from the sewer. What is the? It's not potable, so I'm not. Where can I get a copy of the report to understand the quality of that water in terms of the level of the medications, CECs, other volatiles that are in that that water? And what about the well that's downstream from the Broderson leach field there? Are there samplings being taken out of that monitoring well, so we can gauge the quality of water that's going into the leach field versus the water that's making it to the monitoring well, and then also what is eventually going to be making it to our aquifer, so we can understand the quality of water that is actually going to be in the aquifer and how it's going to be affecting the quality of water in the aquifer long term.
Thank you. Any further public comment? Bring it back to the board.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In response to Mr. Margetson, we definitely know that the drought has an impact, and it's on a couple of levels. One, of course, is reduced recharge. Our recharge in this basin is directly related to rainfall, and also increased irrigation. So as you have no early or late rains, you tend to extend your irrigation season, which can result in more demands on the aquifer. So I think it's well stated that we need to be cautious, and as we get into prolonged droughts, we shouldn't necessarily expect continued dropping of this metric. As to the level of monitoring, there are quarterly monitoring events that the county is currently doing as part of the wastewater project, and those reports do get submitted to the regional board, and they're subject to public information. As we get our hands on those, we are trying to consolidate that into our annual report. So next June, you'll see the results from the sampling events that occurred in 2017. So that would be a consolidated source of information that's published once a year. But those quarterly reports, I'm not sure if they're posted to the county's website, but as we get a hold of them, we could post it to the BMC website so you can see what those actual samples are. And they are taking physical water quality samples in some of those downstream wells so we can see what's in it. And I think there are some CEC tests that are being conducted as well. A CEC, for those of you who don't know, is a contaminant of emerging concern. And those are unregulated chemicals, like caffeine or ibuprofen that do appear in our water supply from time to time that are not yet regulated but are of concern. Thank you.
Thank you.
I just followed that up by emphasizing that the county meets the standards of its waste discharge permit, and those things that are regulated, that's what we're testing for, that's what we're doing. Contaminants of emerging concern are of concern, and we will, look forward to responding as necessary when we have guidance and standards to do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Regarding the trend that we saw from the monitoring well, are there any other wells that we've looked at where we would see a different trend of, say, the wet winter that we had, we'd see the uprising, but then during the summer months we'd see it taper down, where this seems to be continuing to rise even during the summer months? So.
That's why we concluded that we probably are seeing a signature, is that we didn't see the same response in the surrounding wells.
You did not see the
same response.
Yeah, okay, good.
So sure seems like it.
And so future action items on this, we'll keep looking at this data and analyzing it and interpreting it. You mentioned that this graph that we just looked at will come back on a regular basis for us?
As soon as it's updated, we will always bring it back in the next available meeting.
Great, thank you. Any other comment from the board?
Not for me.
Okay. Okay, we'll move on to action item 7D, which is the review and discussion of recycled water management plan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a challenging item for staff to present. Unlike some public bodies, this forum is intended to be a working forum, which is why staff doesn't like to come with long lists of recommendations, because we are primarily here to facilitate your public discussion of items related to the basin. So at our last meeting, we heard about the Los Osos Creek Discharge Project, which is really a recharge project as defined by the state and the Division of Drinking Water. They elected to consider it in that fashion. And you got to see some of the costs and the sampling implications of what it takes to both get a permit for that type of a project and to run it. And the costs are significant. So the next step that we discussed at that meeting is to come back with a discussion of how much recycled water is available, what are the priorities for the use of that water, and what are the questions that need to be asked and answered in order to get us to a coherent community direction on the use of that water, now that we know we're not going to have as much as we thought we would have. So just to provide a little bit of food for thought before your deliberation, our current recycled water volume, you know, we're projecting that out between 500 to 550 acre feet. You know, I guess I could say the pool is not completely closed yet because everyone's not connected, but it's at that high confidence interval that it's going to be in that range. So we're several hundred acre feet shy of where we thought we might be at this juncture, and nothing to indicate that this is going to change for existing development. Projecting that out to build out is obviously dependent on density and land use decisions that we're not making here, but we believe it's going to be in that 650 to 700 acre foot zone, roughly. So if you look at some of the recycled water uses that are buried in various documents, the recycled water management plan being the key document, a couple of things to discuss. Number one is the conditions under which the coastal development plan was written are a little different now. That CDP really started back from the county's planning commission years ago, when the water use in the community was much higher, and volumes were projected volumes were significantly higher. And so there was a thought at that time that there would be extra water that would be a challenge to manage, to the point where in order to secure appropriate funding sources for the wastewater project, we had to make sure we had a place to actually manage that water, and the use of agriculture as being sort of an outlet valve, even if it was agriculture that, while in the basin, did not currently have a source of water. Sometimes we call that dry farmed ag. There were understandings reached with those farmers to make sure that there was a place to take the water before the project was fully funded. Feel free to stop me for clarification on that if you need to. But really the perspective has changed, and that now we have a more limited supply. And so if there is, and I'm speaking just as staff of this committee, if there are changes that need to be discussed with the Coastal Commission, things like reservations for ag that need to be brought back up because conditions have changed, we think we'd have a strong discussion under adaptive management to go back to Coastal and say, we have a little bit of a different set of conditions here, and we need to talk about our CDP conditions. This is a long-term discussion. So some of the items that were in the recycled water management plan was the use of Broderson, and that disposes of water within Zone C, also known as our upper aquifer, up to 448 acre feet, that precise number. And that's where all the water is being managed currently. Bay Ridge Estates, the leach field there, up to 33 acre feet, and then a significant urban reuse program primarily at the schools that would be in the 50 to 60 acre foot range, and then the community park, Sea Pines Golf Course, the cemetery, and agriculture. I've added up there the Los Osos Creek Recharge Project that currently doesn't have an allocation in the recycled water management plan, but staff's thoughts on that are that it's good to always have multiple options in play, that having Broaddrison as the primary option, you may want to think about multiple options that could be used if Broaddrison fails to live up to the recharge potential that we hope it has. So you can see from the previous discussion, this is where the Los Osos Creek discharge was proposed. Again, that would be regulated if we pursue it as a groundwater recharge project of our lower aquifer. In speaking with Cleve Harris geologists, just a couple of key elements to prioritizing the use of recycled water. One is that in a wet year where we have plenty of creek flow, a creek recharge project isn't necessarily the most efficient. In that case, Broaddrison is the best we have as far as putting water back into the basin. And the use of urban recycled water to offset lower aquifer pumping is the best we can do. But in a wet year, in a wet cycle, Broaddrison has the stronger effect on seawater intrusion. In years of prolonged drought, where we don't have that natural creek recharge occurring, if we have well assets out on the east side under Program C, then the recapture efficiency of this project becomes very high. And you can recapture a significant fraction of that water in those dry cycles in the lower aquifer, but you have to have those assets on the east side to do that, or you end up primarily recharging the agricultural area and leaving more water for them to use. Mm-hmm. So it really is a fairly complicated picture, but under climate change scenarios, if we do have prolonged drought cycles, having an option where you can more directly recharge the lower aquifer may be a prudent long-term goal for the community. And so hopefully that gives you some context. So I thought how we could perhaps have this discussion is, one, ask if there's any technical questions, receive public comment, and then see if there are any unique perspectives among the different purveyors or the county. Because what this will translate to is if, say, you decide that creek recharge should be in one of your option mix, we would continue to pursue grants for next step, pursue funding for next step, and continue to move that project forward. So I'd be happy to answer any questions from the board as a start.
So the only one on that board or that chart there that recharges directly to the lower aquifer would be the creek?
For direct recharge,
yes.
Correct. Now, it is modeled that the Broaddrison has at least a 20 to 25% benefit of getting additional water to the lower aquifer because of the pressures associated with that mound long term. That's the model result. We've not been able to measure that yet.
Okay. But just for clarification, the direct lower aquifer recharge, the last sentence in the creek discharge memorandum states that it there would be a benefit from the new crop agriculture reuse. Is that stating that we would be benefiting or we would be recharging the aquifer for the ag, and then the wells that they were drawing from would be modified to more of an upper aquifer? Is that how?
No, not so much. It's merely to say that that section of that alluvium is in communication with the lower aquifer. We would have wells on the west side of that creek that would directly benefit from that recharge. But you can't force the recharge to only go one direction. So there would also be a benefit to the east side. But we would certainly look to optimize our own conditions to recapture that water.
Okay.
If I could just jump in there, I think the other perspective to realize here is that at the point we framed the recycled water plan, we were operating under the need to dispose of effluent.
Yeah.
And that was a different mindset than right. We might adopt right now. So we know that in certain instances that not getting an effect on the lower aquifer was acceptable because of the disposal, but also because of the condition of the permit, yeah, which required a certain amount to go to agriculture. I'll just say, let me just frame this for both the committee and the public, is that the resource of the recycled water from this plant has always been, in the county's mind, to be used to the benefit of the community's water supply in whatever way makes the most sense, mm-hmm, consistent with our need to dispose of the effluent. And now it looks hopeful that we don't, we can lessen our anxiety about being able to dispose, but we're still open within what constraints we have with contracts let and other legal frameworks of how we interact with your purveyors to provide recycled water to do what makes the most sense in terms of securing the water supply here.
Yeah. So. With the changes in conditions, does the county see that they have to go back to the Coastal Commission to amend any part of the CDP?
Well,
or?
Yes. I don't know if it's so much a change in conditions. Anytime we do something different from the permit, we face the need to go back to the Coastal Commission. I don't think we've really, I don't know whether staff has internally discussed that. I haven't discussed these possibilities with staff at this point, but we operate consistent with the permit, and modifications we're willing to talk about.
Yeah. I just didn't know if the conditions are forcing you to do something different than what you intended to do. And I know you were looking for options of to release much greater quantities of water. So I just wasn't sure if it was going to.
Well,
something
so we, thing. In terms of the ag component of this, it's a voluntary. We can't force any agriculture to take our recycled water unless we go through a 3150 provision under the water code, which is a possibility but not a desirable one because it's a coercive play. So as a voluntary program to comply with the 10% requirement of the permit, we signed contracts, let out contracts, to put water where it would not benefit the basin. Not our preferred method, not our first choice by any means, but that was what was available at the time. Right. So, I'd defer to council about our obligations under those contracts, but again, ultimate goal has always been benefit to the community's water supply.
Has there been any kind of informal discussion, any hint of maybe backing off of that 10% requirement with coastal staff?
No, I don't. Okay. We haven't broached that conversation.
That sure
at all.
Seems that's one that needs to be addressed. I mean, conditions are so different than they were. We're not.
Yeah, I'm not opposed to that. Again, we've got a number of other ideas. Another of other constraints that we've got to meet. But no, I think our focus has been on getting this project fully connected.
Yeah.
And
yes,
that's where we've been spending.
Sure.
In looking at our projected quantities, just do a simple calculate. We're pretty much there with the projects you have in place. And so, one of the things that we talked about with the creek discharge project is, that would be that additional water, but the cost associated with that was great. And you mentioned a lot of that funding would come from grants and
You have some baseline monitoring to do. And I'm interested in what are the metrics that are downstream of Broaddrson to confirm effectiveness, like right. the shallow well we saw today.
Yeah.
What are the things we need to be watching in order to be confident that the hydraulic conditions are as expected? We look at least for a 50% match to pursue the first planning steps, the background work for the recharge project. Other local communities have been successful in that. We have an IRWM request in for that. If we're successful, then staff will certainly bring that forward, again, as being another option that would in particular be robust for extended drought periods. Since that's the one place that actually does directly recharge to the lower aquifer. Initial thought is you just don't want to let that go out of hand because of the cost, because it starts to look really good if you when you need it,
right?
Because it's not that costly on a per acre foot basis compared to other options like importing water and that sort of thing. So, want to be careful to keep everything in play.
But I think there's also a water efficiency question there. To put an acre foot in the creek, how much gets to the lower aquifer? Put an acre foot in Broderson, how much gets to the lower aquifer?
Well, right, and that's really what I was kind of tying it into is that we're looking at our existing projects of expansion wells and all these different projects that we have, and maybe it's a, we include something like this in there. The creek component of it is how viable is that? You know, if we look at our existing projects and there is some arrangement of what we thought at one time, then maybe this creek. You know, I just don't want to pursue this creek discharge at the cost that I saw, unless the cost is nominal to position us for some grant funding or something of that nature.
Understood. I mean, just to answer those numerical values, Broderson, 20-25% lower aquifer benefit. Creek discharge in a wet year, not even that efficient. In a consecutive dry years, 50%+. So it really, in that prolonged drought, mm-hmm. becomes very efficient. So it's an interesting play there between those two options.
Let me, if I could, and I don't mean to cut out other committee colleagues, but another constraint we have on the use of the recycled water at Broderson and Bay Ridge Estates is mitigation for wetlands with the disconnection of the leach fields with the disconnection of the septic tanks. We've got to put enough water in there. We think we know how much that is, but we're under adaptive management and a requirement of the Coastal Commission to preserve the environmental effects on that.
Well said. Yeah.
It seems to me that the basic issue is since currently and probably for many, many years henceforth, our source of potable water will be the lower aquifer. Have we ever tried to compare three ways of getting that water, the creek, versus the same amount of water we could generate from blending versus the same amount of water we can get from injection into the lower aquifer?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The injection option will trigger advanced membrane treatment,
right?
Whereas the creek recharge doesn't necessarily trigger that. We scoped it to not be forced into producing a brine stream, because once you have the brine stream, the viability, right. We have no outfall is what...
I understand that.
And the direct injection definitely requires RO before you can re-inject it, so... If we found a place to put the brine, we could do that. Or if you use solar distillation, which I think has been talked about here.
But what about our blending versus the creek discharge? Just the amount of water that you think you can recover, potable water.
Oh, as in the direct reuse?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, that's not... The regs certainly require RO and advanced treatment for all those blending options. So there's no... DPR, direct potable reuse option that we've considered yet because it produces a brine stream.
Okay.
Was your question, Bill, more about blending of upper aquifer water?
Yes.
I totally missed it.
Yeah.
Swing and a miss.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
That's in our programs A and C, we're already considering those blending options. For instance, the district's 8th Street well is a blended well. Our South Bay Upper well, a blended well. So we're already doing that.
So would it make sense to do more blending or pursue the creek?
We already have maximized our blending opportunities under programs A and C.
Okay.
Under program B, you could do more upper aquifer supply.
Yeah. Okay.
So might be a good time to take public comment.
And if I just put one other thought out there, I think that anything we choose to do with recycled water that's, call it available recycled water, not otherwise committed by necessity, I think we have to keep our eye on the long term of direct potable reuse. That is going to happen in my lifetime. I'm right. convinced. I've got that many years left, I think. there's a tremendous push at a statewide level to see that happen. So, you know, I'm fine to think about how we maneuver our recycled water supply, but we've got to remain flexible because at a point, I think that's going to be the way to do it cost effectively.
And so are these quantities the committed quantities that you're mentioning, or they're
the projected quantities and the options? The only, I don't think today we have the list of ag contracts that are committed, and even if we did, those would be short-term contracts.
Right.
We can bring that back in coordination with the county, but at the worst, they're short-term.
Mr. Hutchinson can correct me if I'm wrong, and Mr. Hutchinson will probably take this seat within the next 10 or 15 minutes, as I do in Cambria a little bit by 4. The commitment we have is the environmental offset, the environmental mitigation of disconnection of the septics, and that's not a precisely known number, but it was thought that we needed to do half of our projected effluent to Broderson primarily to take care of that, and Bay Ridge is in there as well. The other commitments were 10% to ag, 10% to the environment, which was covered in the previous ones. And then anything else is really up to us, subject to Coastal's approval of our recycled water plan. So we have some flexibility, but it's a little weird situation in that we don't know yet exactly what we're going to need to handle the environmental mitigations. So.
Yeah, well said.
Okay, thank you. We'll open it to public comment.
Richard Margetson, the agricultural reuse. I started complaining about this probably 5 years ago, minimum 5 years ago. There's no mitigation for any of this effluent going to dryland farmers. Zero. Those are the contracts that are currently in play. If you're going to do anything, and I think you need to do it as soon as possible, go back to the Coast Commission, tell them the conditions have changed, obviously. There were some of us that never thought the flow to the plant was going to be 1 million gallons a day when the plant was completed and online. But this is where we are. Get that off of this list, and if there is extra water to be distributed, put it into the environmental category. I don't think more is going to be harmful in the environmental category, but any water at this point going to ag, especially the dryland farmers, which has zero mitigation, ag has 0.1, is inferior to anything else on that list. But that has to happen now. No project is perfect. It's okay to say you made a mistake, we didn't know the conditions then that we know now. It's all right to go back to them to help this community to maximize the impacts to seawater intrusion from the reuse of this effluent. And I'm sorry, zero means nothing. And it's not 10%. It's minimum 10% to ag. So we can't go 6% to ag and the condition says no less than 10. That's got to be off the books at this point. It's got to be off the books. It's a shame that pipeline was laid and those contracts were, but we also need some information on how tied we are to those contracts that have been signed and if we have a way of getting out of it. That's what this committee needs to be discussing. I think that's the first step before you proceed with anything else on that list.
Good afternoon, Steve Best. I'd like to know what the timeline is of the water that's going into the ground at Broderson. What's the timeline from the surface to the time it reaches the aquifer, and the timeline on what the water going in at the Los Osos Creek when it goes into the creek and when it reaches the aquifer. It's my understanding from the conversation, and I haven't been clear up to now as to how the water is going to be introduced to the creek. It sounds like the water is just going to be introduced to the creek as a just a discharge, surface discharge into the creek, or is it going to be introduced to subsurface wells, so it's going to be introduced to the subterranean below the creek bed, which would mean that it would have a 100% in the creek versus a 50%, and it would be affected by the rain, amount of rainfall during that year. Also, I wanted to find out what our capacities are right now as far as injection well capacities and whether or not that is being considered what we are currently are in terms of annual capacity for direct injection on our reclaimed water. And again, that would have to be potable water, so that would be a benefit to our town.
Thank you. Any further, Jeff?
Thank you, committee members. My name is Jeff Edwards, and I continue to support the Creek Discharge Project. I think it's an excellent one. I would say that a creek discharge coupled with a new well on the east side, such as is being contemplated, in also with conservation, with additional conservation, those three things taken together may be the most important combination of steps we can take. Clearly, the disposal of treated effluent should be prioritized to reduce seawater intrusion. And given that the lower basin, at a minimum zone D and perhaps zone D and E, daylights and appears at the creek bottom, this is an excellent way to recharge the basin. Now, to be clear, this recharge is to occur during the summertime. This is when the creek is not flowing at all. So it might be 2 months out of the year, 3 months, 4 months, or 5 months, somewhere in that range. And so it's with that recharge that it might take 200 acre feet of the 560 acre feet or thereabouts. Broderson, I'd like to point out, has always been intended to be a wet weather location. So the two function very well together, Broderson and the creek discharge. So I would encourage this body to indeed reach out to the Coastal Commission to review and determine whether or not the existing conditions of approval, and specifically the recycled water management plan, can be modified to eliminate certainly dry land farmers, and even perhaps reduce the environmental commitment, because I think that the number one thing we need to do is recharge the lower groundwater basin, and this creek discharge has the potential to do that. It's low tech, it's low energy demand, and it's flexible to the extent that it can function more or less depending on how wet the weather is. As Rob pointed out, I think it's adaptable in that way. So I would encourage this group, because it is favored, I think, at the state level, very much so, the Department of Water Resources. I know the Regional Water Quality Control Board is supportive of this, and so I think there are funds out there. And so I'd encourage your committee to move this forward. Thanks.
Thank you.
Yes, Barry Brannon. The mitigation for the CSD to take ag land, the specific mitigation was a requirement for 10% of the effluent to go to the farmers. The difficulty was that straight effluent without the salt removal is of no benefit to the farmers. So there is a major disconnect, and I believe that the contractual relationship that was made to build the plant and not have the mitigation for the ag community is a situation that will be a difficult challenge. Thank you.
Thank you. There's no further public comment. I'll bring it back to the board.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Brief response. And a lot of good, just good feedback from the public, and we need to consider all those comments. As to the timeline for the movement of that water, either from Broderson or from the creek to the nearest well, we're a matter of years. It's not months, it's years. And all those studies have not been done to precision, but more than 2 years. And the water would be discharged directly into the creek alluvium on the surface. And we've done studies to determine that that would all get into the aquifer before it reached Los Osos Valley Road. And then currently there are no injection wells in the community. The Broderson disposal site is a shallow leach field type disposal. So we still have no, although we've talked about them in the past, we have not installed our first injection well in this community yet. And I believe that responds to public comment. I think we got some feedback from Mr. Brannon at the end about the nature of that ag mitigation. Certainly something we need to look into and remembering the history.
Thank you. Board member comments?
So, Mr. Chairman, I'm happy to talk with staff about, you know, the wider picture of our agricultural recycled water use and see where we might have some options. I would remind the committee, though, that it is 10% of 500 acre feet. It is 50 acre feet. That's not huge. It's not negligible, but it's not huge. So I would submit that while we work on that in a measured way, the other 95% of the recycled water might also be a target for some consideration to make sure we're doing the best we can with that. Other than that, and I apologize to the committee for my commitment that's going to move me out of here and move Mr. Hutchinson into my seat. But I think that in other discussion topics that were there, Mr. Miller's suggestion, you know, in terms of priority for recycled water users, I don't know about priority. I think we're trying to cost-effectively maximize the beneficial impact of recycled water on the drinking water supply of the basin in the long term. So I don't know that we rank a specific rank. We have our recharge, you know, fire effect on use of recycled water here, there, or otherwise, but I think we would usefully look at this in a wider vision of how we do this. There was some discussion, and I'll just add to that the question of whether our sewer collection system could possibly process some stormwater, and that's an interesting idea. Of course, depends on having capacity to do that. Again, I think that's an idea worth some thought, but I don't think it's at the top of our list at that point. This is a big, complex problem, probably at the level of direct potable reuse. And so, while it's an entertaining idea, I wouldn't propose that we spend a lot of time, and certainly no time that would delay other known actions that this committee can take to get the basin moving in the right direction. So with that, unless there are other particular questions for me.
I guess I'm curious, are we actually sending water to the dryland farmer? I mean, no. We have a contract, but no. Have we shipped any water?
No, not at this point. And maybe Mark or Erica knows how much we had committed to.
I did get, I don't know if you have that number, I got an update from staff confirming we're not shipping any yet, and there's a series of permitting and on-site retrofit steps that would have to happen for that to occur. County's more focused on our own urban reuse here and getting that rolling than delivering on those contracts, but I think we could bring back the quantities.
Well, I'm not anxious to deliver on the contracts. I'm just wondering if there's any commitments that just make it impossible to back out of or impossible to even approach the Coastal Commission about changing that.
That's the topic I indicated I'm willing to talk to staff about.
That'd be great.
Thanks. Yeah.
And I think in the absence of a lot of board direction, we would continue to pursue grant funding for the creek discharge and take measured steps. And we'll continue to encourage the consummation of those urban reuse contracts that are pending, and then do the staff work to confirm what the specific arrangements are for the ag reuse. And those would be our general action steps coming out of this discussion.
And did we authorize funding for the creek discharge? Do we still? I know we did a portion for the study. Is there additional funding that we've already authorized from the board?
Not that you've authorized. No, you do have a little funding available for grant pursuit. Okay. And so we'll bring forward
just a snapshot of what our next step.
And the next step.
Yeah. Okay, that'd be great. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Any other comments?
We'd have general public comment as well.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Non-agenda items. Open this up to general public comment for items not on the agenda.
Good afternoon. Steve Best here again. Just in that follow up on that last statement, farmers I've spoken with up to now have been very adamant about not wanting to be part of the receiving of the reclaimed water because of the salt content of the water right now. So until that gets resolved, they don't want any part of it. So that's what it's worth right now. I just wanted to be able to say that I am currently still working on the concept that our best solution for Los Osos, for our condition, is to have the water coming out of the plant to be potable water versus currently just having it be filtered, treated water. I think we have a good solution. Recently, I've spoken with John Austin with the at the utilities division in downtown in San Luis Obispo, and he finds my proposals very intriguing. So I am continuing to pursue that. It can also be tied to another project, which would be a recreational project, which would be a public swimming pool, which also produce another 1 acre plus or minus acre feet a day of water that would also go to that same facility that could produce additional water that could be filtered, taken out of the saltwater intrusion area, reduce the or remove the salts and put back into the aquifer to help control the aquifer on an annual basis. So I have a number of proposals that can be considered, and I'd like to very much to continue the process. I'm also going to be offering a proposal where I can to do a model and monitor the process so we can actually get some real-time data on exactly how much the modification on the plant would produce, and the cost and the benefits that it would that the project would that it would result from the modification of the plant. This would be a zero waste discharge on the effluent. There would be zero brine discharge. The only it'd be only solid waste, which would, since we have a on the existing plant, there is a dewatering facility, so that would be the only waste that would be produced on the water coming out of the plant. So, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes, Jeff Edwards, and I wanted to bring to your attention a recent Bay News article that you may have read, entitled CSD Workers Get Raised, District Works on Basin Plan. And it's an article, a fairly long article, written by Neil Farrell, and it's pretty informative, but there are a couple points, and they're subtle, but I wanted to, again, bring them to your attention and clarify, because I think it's important in connection with the basin management that we're contemplating. The first thing that the article says is that the entire water basin is in a severity level 3 of overdraft. And I'd like to make a couple distinctions. First of all, the Los Osos groundwater basin is not in overdraft. The definition of overdraft is using more water than the safe yield of the basin. And that's not the case in Los Osos. We have a safe yield of approximately 2,500 acre feet per year. Our current demand is approximately 2,200 acre feet. So we're presently at a basin yield metric of 88. So we're not in overdraft. What we have is a management problem. We have our wells too close to the ocean. And I'd like to contrast our basin to the basins in the Santa Maria Valley groundwater and also the Paso Robles Basin. Those basins arguably are in overdraft. They're using more than the safe yield. I think that's a very important distinction, because if you look at our resource management system and the existing level of severity 3 that's been established, there are even distinctions within the RMS system. The RMS system has two categories for water, supply and system. And I would submit to you that the level of 3 severity is more related to the system and the management than it is to the supply and the question of overdraft. So also in this article, Mr. Farrell throws out quite a few dollar numbers. And these are taken from the basin plan largely, but I think based on what we know today, that we don't have to spend $17 million or $25 million to do what we needed to do. If you recall, I just mentioned a moment ago that if we implement a new east side well with conservation and a creek discharge, we would have a very good chance of success. Those projects all combined are less than $10 million. So I'd like to put it in perspective. So one, the community knows that we don't have to go out and raise $25 million, that $10 million is a more realistic goal. And I'd like everybody to know and understand that we're not in an overdraft, that we have management issues, and if we attend to those management issues, I think we have a real chance. Thanks.
Thank you. Sorry, that was my alarm. Yeah.
Got my attention.
Richard Margetson. Sorry, Mark, I'm talking to Bruce, not to you. future agenda item. What we just heard about staff of the county talking about the egg issue. I think that needs to be on your next agenda, what answers they got. You had county council staff sitting here. I've heard Bruce say at meetings he thought it was 120 acre feet were going to dryland farmers. I don't think it's that amount, but I think it's higher than 50. And in his comment, he said, you know, that's 10%, and we should be worried about the other 95%. Well, that's not even the correct math. You know, when you want to downplay something, that's the way to do it. This is very important, and this needs to be on your agenda, and it needs to, I can't believe that there's been no discussion at this point. They've heard at Board of Supervisors repeated comments about this flaw in the recycle program. This is a flaw. In our current condition, this is a flaw in that plan, that any water could possibly be going to dryland farmers, and I would like an explanation. And I think you need an explanation of what those contracts actually say, how long they're committed for, and what the repercussions are if they do not deliver. Because if say there's not enough water to deliver to them, that's a way to get out of the contract. But you need to know all those answers. And that needs to be on, I think it needs to be on the next agenda. It should, in a month, they should be able to have that discussion and figure out which direction they're going. But I'm so tired of the double talk on this issue when this is, especially for an item that has no impact on seawater intrusion. And if those contracts are committed, if it's 120 and it's committed, and you have to deliver that at some point. I don't believe that's the case, but if the contracts say that, you've got a whole other issue to deal with, because then you've got 20% of your effluent on the high end going to an area that has no impact on seawater intrusion. None.
Thank you. All right, well.
Mr. Chairman, if I might.
Sure.
Earlier in the meeting, Rob Miller made the prediction that the Coastal Commission would approve the revised wastewater projects rebate program that we submitted to them, which is, I think it's attached to 7B in your staff report. I just got a message the Coastal Commission approved that program at 2:33 this afternoon.
Boom.
An hour ago.
Yeah.
Although I suspect that's slightly before you made that announcement.
Oh, okay.
So,
not too that's great news.
So county staff will be getting together information to go out to all of the wastewater customers that there's additional water conservation rebates available to them. And even for those who've already gotten a little bit of a rebate, there's more that we can offer now.
Okay, great.
And then
yeah,
hopefully
that's good
that news. Spurs our staff conversation about some sort of a community forum. We'll turn our brochure into a poster and put it on the wall in here.
Great, good news.
Okay. You know, I did want to comment on one thing of the executive director's report in the flow conditions update. You mentioned that it was going to the Bay Ridge leach fields, and I don't think that's the case, right? Mark, I think last meeting you mentioned that there was no water going to the Bay Ridge leach fields at this time.
I think I think ops staff has given Rob the latest
I think
and greatest.
Yeah, from the county, but
what have you got on that?
On, yeah, Bay.
On bullet item 5.
You know, I'll confirm
so
that. I think they have put some at Bay Ridge, but I'll confirm it.
I just remember us talking about it last time, and I'm sorry, I meant to bring it up while we were on that.
We'll note
report.
That in our
okay.
detailed minutes, and I'll bring that back.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other board comments? Okay.
Staff's good.
We'll adjourn the meeting. Thank you.